Okay, hi everyone. This is Regina, and I have Paul here with me. He's doing something to get. He said he'll just about. You can hear him laughing.
I'm not doing anything. I can't find. Something.
Well, what I mean is he for something.
So yeah, you might as well just ask questions. But I was going to read a little bit from Ramana Maharshi, but I can't find. Hello everybody. Happy to be with you guys again, and yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, tell you what, I will ask a question. You feel free to, you know, keep looking, or it sounded like there was someone there with you. Maybe that person could look. If you find what you want to read, I would be curious as to what it was, because we love Ramana Maharshi. Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll take a break in halfway on how to find it, where I just added.
Yeah, we could do that. I could.
All right, so, yes, what's the question?
Okay, well, let me just start with a very, very basic question. Actually, there's a few questions I could ask, but I think the first one I will ask is just what is awakening from your perspective?
The basic state.
Say a little more, please.
The basic state. I believe everyone is inherently awake.
Right.
And in this activity here, you can seem to be awake to that, or you can seem to be asleep to that, but it doesn't change to that. Yeah.
All right. So, you know, one of the
seemingly is an important word I like, which it means it appears to be true or false to you. So, you not as Regina, but you as what you are. So, if that which is wants to believe it's not, it can seemingly make that be true. Yeah, it can appear to that which is that it's true that it's not, yeah? But it isn't true. That which is that which is. But in this dreaming, it can seem like it's not that, yeah? Hmm.
Yeah.
For me, how it does it in a way is that you identify it as a thing, but it's not. So the dreaming becomes, or seemingly becomes identified as the dream, and that allows it to seemingly forget that it's the dreaming, yeah? So I believe everyone is inherently awake. But then here, you can seem to be awake for that fact, or you can seem to be asleep for that fact. It doesn't change the fact. So I don't believe there's an awakening. If everything is always awake, how can there be an awakening? Yeah? So sort of like, how can there be a happening of what's always happening? It doesn't make any sense.
Right. So last week, we talked about a little bit about you know, how they don't have a 12 steps for spiritual seekers.
Oh, they probably will, too.
So my question is, you know, like we just talked about how everyone is awake, but not everyone's awake to that. And I think spiritual seekers are probably people who at least think they want to be awake to that.
Yeah.
And we last week, I think another thing we talked about was, you know, the spiritual seeking can become an addiction. But we also talked about the fact that it is helpful to be aware of consciousness. And so I think what I wanted to come back to, since almost everybody who listens to this audio is what we would call a spiritual seeker, what I wanted to come back to is what is the best way to live as a spiritual seeker?
The best way to live as a spiritual seeker.
Right, like, yeah, because we obviously, so in other words, you know, if we don't want it to be the addiction, and yet there's still a sense, of, you know, I am not awake, you know, what's the answer? What's the answer for the spiritual seeker, or should
well, that's the, to me is when that's the state where the dreaming will dream itself out of this dream. So my friend just told me today that, you know, one day he was somewhere and there was just a book, a table that said yoga, that just sort of created a resonance and it changed his life. Now to me, that's the dreaming, using the dream itself out of the dream.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say, in honesty, spiritual seeking would be, is seeking the clues of the spirit for the spirit by the spirit. Yeah?
Yes. Yeah, so following the signs. following the signs, following the resonance, like, you know, like following a path.
Yes, and then also recognize when something that was seemingly of service isn't anymore.
Yes.
I mean, being flexible enough to leave that which is over or done for you, instead of keeping on, because there's an identification at it,
So a lot of stuff
you come in contact with isn't going to be a lifelong companion. It's meant to sort of trigger mind, big M mind, and when mind takes over, it writes the rest of the book, yes?
Mm-hmm.
That's my feeling about it. So, but if someone, like someone who was at a talk I did yesterday, they said, you know, they want to, now that they're seeing that they're not the meditator, they want to stop meditating, but they feel better when they meditate, not you anyway, yeah? Just be aware that there's a heist, a mental heist going on while we think we're doing stuff, yeah? While we're thinking we're hearing stuff, while we're believing we're reading stuff, there's a claiming of the act of reading to imply a reader. That's nowhere near what the hell you are, yeah?
Right.
It's just a historical story hinged on the past, yeah?
So
totally
just
dependent on the past. Self, the idea of being you as what you're not, has to be remembered. It doesn't have its own life. It has to be remembered by life, yeah?
So watch the claiming and notice that the claiming is just mental. Is that what you're saying?
So you hear the information and then see it more as revealed. So someone just gave you information, hey, your aperture stuck in self-centeredness can open up a little bit more. And then you'll see what you used to be looking from. So many of us are looking from after the heist. If you see the heist from before, there is no heist. It's just an activity now.
Yeah.
But if you don't see it from before, and it would be just like moving an aperture of a camera. Yeah. You don't even have to move the camera. The aperture will open up more, and it'll be seen as if the camera was moved, but it didn't have to physically move. Yeah. Now more is seen because the aperture opens. We have to see that there's a fixed aperture for feminine. And in that aperture, all the pictures and all the movies it makes is used to claim to point to the sense of being a self. That's what its purpose. That's why it's called self-centeredness. Yeah. The whole activity, the system is based here. And if it's erroneous, then that idea of self has to constantly be reinforced, I believe the self thing is. And also it has to be remembered because it isn't self. So it has to be remembered that I was so. It has to be remembered that I will be so. And therefore you feel like you are that so now. It's still stayed up. It's just an activity. You can wear it much looser. Not as it, but the relief is from it, you know. So the action figure continues. And if your action figure has the bone of spiritual seeking, it will seek spirituality. But it won't be trying to get anywhere from spirituality. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it's not the case, then the spirituality will come, the seeking will come to an end, and you won't be wasting any more time looking for what you cannot find, you know. It'll be very clear to you that you are that which is looking. So you'll stop looking for it. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. What are the symptoms of addiction to spiritual seeking?
I have some ways to be the doctor's. So what are some of the ways?
Did you say you have some waves because you're sitting on the dock?
Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock on the water, yes.
I said, what are the symptoms of spiritual seeking addiction rather than the natural following of just following what feels good or what feels natural?
All right, let's say someone who's gone on 30 retreats, yeah. That may be a good indication that the retreat could turn into habit, yeah? I mean, obviously, how many retreats do you need to do to know that you don't need to do any more retreats?
Right.
You know? That to me is it, yes? That to me, a spiritual addiction is you don't think you're addicted. The spirituality, that's part of the addiction, the denial, just like it is with drugs and alcohol.
Yeah. And also just buying every spiritual book that you hear about, continuing to buy the book.
And also maybe using the word amazing quite a lot. It's an indication to me. Everything is freaking amazing. I met an amazing new teacher, and then there's another new teacher.
Yeah.
Not a fucking a case of beer. It's a whack. It's like a Ben, I don't want to say Ben B flat. Yeah, it's not like a long drawn out affair. The expression of it can be a long drawn out affair.
I have a question
If you've been doing something and it hasn't been down, let's say for 20 years, it may be a good indication you're not going to find it.
Yeah,
so
that you just
I remember
like.
When I was younger, I used to get this Buddhist magazine called Triceps. Very beautiful magazine. And there's one little page, it was like a half the page was a box ad from some meditation teacher, famous meditation. And so he was saying, you know, he's been teaching for 30 years or more. And he's been saying that a lot of his older students, or older people who've been doing it for 25 years, were getting in touch with him. Saying, you know, nothing happened. What would that do? To me, what it did to me is I canceled my subscription to freaking Dyson. And why would I want to get on that bus when I just heard a lot of people who've been on the bus, they don't go anywhere. Yeah.
Yes, I heard that, and I'm hoping everybody else heard that, because you faded a little bit as you were talking just then for some reason, so.
Yeah, it's a boat came by with a guy getting pulled from China.
Oh, a boat
came. They were asking for my help, but I said I was in 14 days.
All right, well, listen, I have a question from someone in the sanctuary. Her name is Karen.
Yes.
Would he tell us what he can about intuition and inspiration, like what role, if any, do they play in the one who is awake to being awake, and then for the one who is not yet awake to being awake? And then she asked,
go ahead.
I'll ask the rest after you finish that. Go ahead and answer.
Yeah, please, yeah. So intuition and inspiration of someone who isn't awake is quite fleeting, and it's not followed up by a change of direction, usually. For someone who seems to be awake, it's going to be taken to be like a piece of gold in like a paper currency of fucking promises. Okay, so intuition and inspiration will have a much further shelf life for the seemingly awake one than it will with the seemingly asleep one. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and so you'll start, and you'll also recognize intuition. Intuition, when it shows up after a while, you become familiar with it. It won't be something that pops up and then goes totally unnoticed. You'll be keen on listening to it, because that little bit of intuition downloads so much more information than thousands and thousands of hours of selfing. And then the inspiration is like the mind getting excited about mind. A run with the inspiration. Some things that inspired me 25 years ago, I still use them now when I share, because they produce a sense of like an avalanche of a sense of selfness when I say it. Yeah? Like a lot of statements out of Ramana and a lot of statements out of Wang Po and a number of the statements out of Course in Miracles. They just trigger such a sense of selfness of what can't be seen, heard, felt, tasted, and touched. Yeah? So. That to me is inspiration.
All right. And then the rest of her question, remember she had asked, of course, you know, what role do they play in the one who is awake and not awake? The rest of her question was, are these just selfing words?
No. They may be words used or claimed by selfing, but they're not selfing words.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I want to repeat that back, you know, just to make sure that I'm hearing you correctly, because I think it's an important point. It's not the doing or the talking that is the selfing, it's the claiming. Is that right?
Yeah. It's what the selfing is implying or presupposing when we listen to it in a certain way. It's stating as if it's a fact that you're there, first of all. And then based on that assumption, it now narrates the rest of the day. Yeah, but it's based on an assumption, and it's all insinuated and implied from then on. So once the little assumption gets a foothold, then it gets reinforced all day. Yeah. So the selfing doesn't produce self. There's nothing that can produce the self. Yeah. When what we are believes in the selfing, it makes up a sense of being a something. It now seemingly takes itself to be a body, realizing what it is. It now has to realize what it is from a body. Yeah.
So you're reminding me of like Nisargadatta Maharaj when he talks about how his words, his are no different to hair growing. And that, of course, would be because he doesn't claim either. They just have,
Yes, definitely. See, the whole point is people, because we're bodily centered, we pin a message on it. Yes?
Yes.
We think because the Toyota brought a beautiful bouquet of roses in it, it should smell good all the time. It doesn't work that way, yeah? Smell the freaking roses and realize what carried it. It's not it, yeah? It's carrying the message.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. In fact, there was a time when I used to think certain people had clarity and certain people didn't, and then I just started to notice that clarity comes, it happens, and it can happen anytime with anyone.
Exactly, for sure.
Right.
Yes. See, once there's a position taken, there's reaction to that. So it's best to travel like in a positionless way. Wear uniforms and authority loosely, so to speak. Not as an order or a command, but based on a realization. Like for me, it was always to produce an image of it. It's like water moving through a hose, yes? The hose is very clear, it ain't the water. Now, the mental state would like to wear the hose or present the hose as the water, but the hose isn't saying a damn thing. Yeah, the hose is the hose. And then there's the water moving through it. To me, the messenger is the hose and the message is the water.
Right. Yeah. Right. The body is the hose.
So if you pin it on, you're definitely going to be disappointed by it. Like I tell my friends, go to the bathroom after a master goes. It smells just the same as you, you know?
Yeah.
So it's ordinariness, which makes it, see, when something's special, it has to be infrequent. Yeah. That's how the head sees it. If it's ordinary, it'll be much more available at all times, right where you are. There's no requirement necessary. Once it's lifted into a special, rarefied position, then you've got to have exotic places to go to find it. You've got to go on, you know, special engagements they set up to feel it. It becomes, it's the specialness like pits it, but paints it to me. Where to me it's ordinary. I usually use a term, which I won't, so that's not first, but let's say it's like curbside awareness. You know, it's not like a lofty, it came from where it can only be sensed in 9,000. Deep, you know, above sea level, altitude in a cave in a dump, you know, a mountain. I almost said something again. So it's not that, I don't see it that way. That makes it be special, and therefore you'll have it brief. You know? And then again, when it's infrequent, then you play a major role to make it more free. It's to me the spiritual thing.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So again, someone.
I mean, I'm just a guy called Paul. You know what I mean? I'm not fucking in the authority. I'm just telling you how I see it right now. I can probably give you a different answer tomorrow.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I accept that. So let me ask you this question. So again, talking about the spiritual seeker, the one who feels like they're not awake. In fact, they're very clear that they're claiming everything they say, everything they do, and they want to break this habit. So would it be helpful then to notice, to begin to notice things that you have done that you didn't do? For example, right now I'm sitting here with my feet in a particular position. My arms are behind me, kind of interclasped, and I'm kind of swaying back and forth as I'm listening to you. But I didn't do this. This is just happening, right? Is it helpful to just start noticing all of the things that the body does, all of the things that the voice says? Where the eyes jump and look at something suddenly and noticing, is it helpful to notice that everything's happening and then also notice the mind's tendency to claim? Does that help to break the habit?
It matters. It's, again, it's the mind that precedes it all that's going to make it what it is. Yeah. So someone could follow that course and it would be helpful. Others, it wouldn't be helpful.
Right.
Yeah. So you don't really know. I
Yeah.
mean, I don't observe much. You see things, you meet things, you know, but I don't observe. Like how I'm sitting, or where my foot is, or my toe, or whatever. I don't do anything like that. So, but then again, I don't do much. So,
Yeah.
but whatever helps, I can't. What can I say? I mean, people, you know how they used to have a lot of people that they expose them. They think there's a mass agreement that they were charlatans or frauds. Yeah, tons of people who read their Bible, yeah?
Right.
You know what I mean? So does the messenger need to be bona fide for the truth that comes before? And so the mind can make anything. It can make, you know, like that, you know, the old TV or a freaking gold purse, whatever. It's mind itself. So I don't think there's any wrong answer to almost anything. I'd have to, like, someone could have a situation and talk about it. I'd have a different answer maybe in the next hour. Yeah. I'd say something now, and then it would maybe change in an hour.
Yeah.
You know the Course in Miracles with the level confusion?
Yes.
The way I sense it, these levels, but how it sounds to mind is sensation, and it manifests in different levels. And so, you know, you meet the person on the level they seem to be. Yeah. So, like, if they're higher and they're losing everything and they're bonked, feeling burnt, you don't tell them there is no house or there isn't a fire. This is pointless. Yeah. You come with a pail of water. And then maybe when the fire stops, you can share. Hey, you know, have you noticed that every fire you've ever been in, you've been in it? You know, you can start pointing out their role in things and stuff like that and see where the mind takes it. But I don't see anything as a road answer. So if it works for you, it works for you. Why I don't do it is it doesn't work for me. To tell you the truth, whatever moves through me wants me to be spiritually illiterate by the time. It wants me to be totally dumb when it comes to spirituality. It's usually the best when I'm like that. So, yeah, it's taken away any habit I was quite into for quite a while. It's removed. The interest is gone somewhere else. Going somewhere else, like right here and now. And sometimes the best thoughts is when I'm feeling the worst. It doesn't seem to have taken into consideration much as the action figure.
All right. I'm hoping somebody else will have a question or you'll just come up with something because right now I am questionless.
I thought it would have happened earlier. I thought I'd give it to you.
Good. Here's a question. Somebody's helping us. This is from Karen again. Would he tell us what he can about, in A Course in Miracles, the script is written when he is not the action figure? So would he tell us what he can about A Course in Miracles, the script is written when he is not the action figure?
Yes, the script is written about the action.
Yeah, the script is written about the action figure.
Yeah, and then there's also a non-script that's never been written. That's up.
So then there's Ramana Maharshi's statement that karma applies to the body, not to the self.
Yes, of course.
All right. We have another question from Tom. Is it
safe? I'll just have you answer the questions now.
Well, but it's not my time. I actually taught the hour before you, Paul. Just maybe you don't know, but I'm the founder of Awakening Together, and I do a lot of teaching here. But I like to bring in different voices, not just my voice all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. Happy that you invited me.
Yeah. So let's see. We have another question from Tom. He says, "Is it safe?"
I'm happy if it keeps going on, but I'm happy right now.
Yeah. Well, you're here, so we're happy about that. So Tom says, "Is it safe to say that the separate self can't take itself out of the separate self?"
Of course, that's a very good one.
Do you have any more to say about that? I mean, I hear that, of course, because there isn't one. What about in A Course in Miracles when it talks about how God takes the last step?
Well, the same thing Ramana says, you know, Ramana supposedly sat in silence, and then people didn't seem to be dead, so he decided to bring something back up into use that was from the Vedas, the Who Am I? And therefore he would say, Who Am I? It'll lead you back to where everything else comes from, which is mind or being or whatever. And then rest there, all you do, and then grace will do the rest, whatever the rest is. Yes?
Yes.
So it's sort of like running, you know, with the football. You realize you've gone as far as you can, you put the football down, and then something else picks it up. Now, there isn't a something else, but it's the language.
Yeah.
So something, that to me is great.
Yeah, so from the perspective of the self, from that idea of a me, it wasn't me. That's grace, right?
From the idea of a me?
Yeah, from the perspective of the idea of a self. So,
yeah
it wasn't me, and that's why we call it grace, because it wasn't that.
Oh, yeah, you can call it that, but also grace is all the time, but there's a point. It's obvious you got back away 10, and that's when the ball's to death. So there's no witnessing or observing like that outside. It's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So at that point, there's truly, like it says, I need do nothing from the cross. In this sense, there's a truly, I need do nothing. Now, a lot may happen, but you won't be doing anything. Yeah. Which you never were in to begin with, but that to me is the point of grace. Ramana is talking about going somewhere beyond, yeah?
So, Karen has a follow-up to her question. Hers was the
question. Karen is a very question-oriented person.
Actually, she usually...
Karen, thank you so much for helping me out.
As I say, she usually isn't. Yeah, okay, so her first question, her second question was the one about the script. And so I think this is a clarifying to that. She says, so, there is no script for the one awake to being awake. Is that true?
But there isn't no one to be awake to be awake.
Okay, talk about that.
This bit, there is no one to be awake to be being awake. The one, the sense of being the one is the product, is the self. Yeah? Just like there's thinking and then there's a feeling or a sense that you're the thinker. There's awakeness and now there's a sense that there's someone awake. There's the one that's awake. It's the same. It's the selfing. The selfing will claim its own absence.
Right.
And write itself into the story of being the present to experience its own absence. Yeah, that's the selfing goes way. The selfing is very persistent.
Yeah.
It's going to claim anything. Whatever topic you think is off limits to it, it ain't off limits to it. I don't care. Electrified, fenced around spirituality, it just jumps right over that. And the claiming goes on in all of these, like, holy thousands of year old lineages, the same self-truths happen.
Right.
The claiming of mental process will happen unabated, no matter what environment you're in or circumstance you're in. It's been a claim to be the one that's in the circumstance and in the environment. Get used to it. That's what it does. If you waste time trying to convince it to do something else, it's like the old snake story where the lady saves the snake and puts it in the shoebox. She cuts up a quilt and makes a little bed for it and feeds it with an eyedropper. And then she takes it out and the snake bites her. And she goes, she's so upset. The snake, if you bite me, says, I'm a snake. That's why. The claiming happens because that's what the mental process does. It's trying to claim something it doesn't have, which is living. Yeah? It's not a living event.
So do you think the claiming, which I know you don't use the word ego that much, so I'm going to use the word claiming, but some people might use the word ego in this sentence. Do you think that the claiming ever dies, ever ends, or is it something that's just always there?
Yeah, when you die.
When you die.
When the body dies.
When the body dies. So you don't think that there's a claiming that ends and then a body that continues. You don't think that happens?
Well, the thing is, you just see you're not the claiming. That's
right.
All.
So, repeat.
There's no one that's doing the claiming. The claiming can continue. That's the stop programming. It doesn't really matter. Toyota has a lousy speaker, you know? It's going to keep playing the songs to a lousy speaker. Well, the claiming is going to go on, but you'll wake up to the fact that there is no claimer, yeah? That you're not doing the selfing, nor is the selfing doing you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just happening like an object. And yes.
It's happening just like your blood circulating is happening. The digestion is happening. Yeah.
But there's a difference between seeing it as happening and fully believing it. Fully believing it then would be not awake to your awakeness. Is that true?
Well, if you see it, you don't need to fully believe it.
Right.
Yeah. Because then you're in the seeing of it. That's being it. Fully believing it is like a leg for an understanding. Yeah. It can be helpful, but when the doo-doo hits the fan, it may not be as helpful as you'd like it.
You know,
but the theme is a different story.
I have to tell you, I think you're quite cute when you're not swearing. I love the words you're substituting for the swear words.
All right, well, they're coming quick. I have them in reserve. I don't usually need to use them.
Yeah,
I haven't spoken out of kindergarten class in a while. I'm trying my best. Once.
Yeah, well, I can tell.
Hopefully when unnoticed.
Yeah, no, I think when it slips out just a little bit, it's okay. It's just that when it's, you know, like every fifth word, that's when.
Oh, I know. That E's for emphasis.
Oh, I understand.
That's where I grew up. And I think it's very good for emphasis myself.
Yeah, I used to do it myself. I trained myself not to because of the sanctuary. You know, so.
Oh, yeah, that's being considerate. I don't know if I have that much in.
You do, because you just said doo-doo. You're very considerate.
Oh, thank you. I can do it for short spurts, not a long spurt.
All right. We're about halfway through. Want me to play a song while you look for that book, or do you just...
Halfway through. Yeah, I'd like to. I'll be back in 2 minutes. So
okay, I'll play a two-minute song then. How's that sound?
All right. If I'm not here, I'll be here. If I'm not here in 10 minutes, that means I
didn't perform. Okay. All right. That sounds good. All right. So I'm going to go ahead then and just a little bit of a song while he runs off. You know, I'm going to play a song that's not so spiritual, but it jumped out at me, and I love it. I've always loved it since I was 3. It's King of the Road by Roger Miller.
Trailer for sale or rent, rooms to let, 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. I ain't got no six. but 2 hours of pushing broom buys a 8x12 poor built room. Man of means by no means. King of the road. Third boxcar. Midnight train. Destination Bangor, Maine. I don't pay no union dues. I smoke old stogies I have found. Short, but not too big around. I'm a man of means by no means. King of the road. I'm every engineer on every train. All of the children and all of the names. It ain't locked when no one's around. I sing trailers for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. Got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom. Buys a 8x12 four-bed room. I'm a man of means by trailers for sale and rent. Rooms to 50 cents. No phone, no boo, no pets. Ain't got no cigarettes in, but 2 hours of pushing.
All right, my song is over. Are you back?
Yes, I found what I was looking for.
All right, good, good, good. So you are on then. Go for it.
See, this is the joy of looking for what you can find. Yes?
Yes.
You'll actually find it, and there'll be a joy involved. The problem with seeking, there's no finding.
I get it.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So you don't have any more questions. I'm going to read some things that I like very much. And I did the necklace thing last week. Did I do the necklace thing? Sorry.
I don't remember the necklace last week, no.
Oh, then I'm going to tell you a necklace. This is, I think, a very illuminating story by Ramana from the Talks with Ramana Maharshi, page 388. All righty?
Yes.
All right, so first, actually, I'm going to start a little earlier than that. So this aimless lady is asking a question of Maharaji. So Maharaji goes, now the most important word is if. It goes, if realization were something outside you, a way could be shown consistent with the safety of the individual, his capacity, etc. Then question. Such as, and if so, in what time would also arise? This is all based on if realization was something outside. Obviously, he's implying it isn't, yeah?
Yeah.
So I'll say it again. If realization was something outside of you, a way could be shown consistent with the individual. In other words, the way would act individual, not negated, so to speak, yes?
Mm-hmm.
This is a lot to do with spiritual seeking and the ethics. So a lot of the spiritual seeking is being used by the mental state to reinforce the seeker, not destroy the seeker. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, so it goes, and when it goes, then questions such as, is it realizable? And if so, in what time would also arise? You see it? It's beautiful, I think. But here, realization is of the truth, let's say, because he uses the word self with a large S, meaning being. So let's follow it that way. Realization is of the self. You cannot remain without the self. The self is always realized, but you don't recognize the fact. The real self there. So that, to me, is the statement that we're all awake, but we're seemingly not awake to that idea, right?
Yes.
That sentence sort of registers the same statement. The self is always realized, but you don't recognize the fact. It's a fact. It isn't something that came about and wasn't about before. It's a fact. So that to me is everyone is awake, and then you can seemingly be asleep to that, or you can seemingly be awake to that. But the fact is everyone's awake. So here the fact is realized, but you don't recognize the fact. The realization is now obscured by the present world idea that there's a world. The world is now seen outside you, and the idea associated with it obscures your real nature. And the idea associated with it is there's a you, yeah, that's in the world, and the world is outside of you, yeah?
Yes.
So the world is now seen outside you, and the idea associated with it obscures your real nature. In other words, the identification as a self obscures your real nature. All that is needed is to overcome this ignorance, and the self stands revealed. Well, how's the way to start overcoming the ignorance? Realizing it's not your ignorance. Yeah. No special effort is necessary to realize, again, no special effort is necessary to realize the self. All efforts are for eliminating the present obscuration of the truth. So what is self-study going to bring you any real knowledge? No, but not to self. A study of self will bring you some valuable knowledge, right? Because it'll bring you the knowledge you're not self. So when you're studying the small f self, instead of self-study, which neutrons all the information you gather, because there'll be the sense of you gathering it, now you study self, and you now have an understanding that you're not that, and then you can see the heist of the mental state, and when you see it, you have a good chance of not looking from it. And that's suddenly, you're seemingly awake to being awake. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so then he tells this story. It's one of my favorites. So a lady is wearing a necklace around her neck. That's where they usually are, right?
Yeah.
She forgets it, imagines it to be lost, and impulsively looks for it here, there, and everywhere. So she forgets it. She forgets the necklace is on her neck. And imagines, because this is the only way it continues to be lost, she imagines it to be and impulsively looks for it here, there, and everywhere. Not finding it, she asks her friends if they have found it anywhere, until one kind friend points to a neck and tells her to feel the necklace around the neck. The seeker of the necklace does so and feels happy the necklace is found. Again, when she meets her other friends, they ask her if her lost necklace was found. She says yes to them, as if it were lost and later recovered. The happiness on rediscovering it around her neck is the same as if some lost property had been recovered. In fact, she never lost it nor recovered it. And yet, she was once miserable and now she is happy. That's the dreaming. Yeah? We dream that we forgot. We dream that we're not what we are, and then we start looking for it. And when we come to the point of realizing we are that by seeing what we're not, we think we have found it. We think we've had an awakening. But we have never lost it, yeah? It was always available at all times. Something was obscuring that. And that something was the identification as a self. So our happiness, this is a very important sentence. So how you discover it around the neck is the same as if some lost property had been recovered. In fact, she never lost it nor recovered. And yet she was once miserable and now she is happy. This has happened with the day I shared this the last time at the talk. A friend of mine that was at the talk, we usually go to coffee afterwards. So we went to coffee. Yeah? And then he wanted to go back to the church where the meeting was to get his truck. And two people gave him a ride back there, and then his truck wasn't there. So he thought, and it's a beater, I mean, you know, just a broken down truck. He immediately thought someone had stolen it, which my two friends said, who would steal that piece of junk? But he started to assume that it was stolen and started looking around the neighborhood to see who could possibly have stolen it. And he had such a fit based on this assumption it was lost, that my friend had to call me, and I gave it the phone to this other guy, and the other guy says, oh, no, Bill saw me walking around to go to the cafe, so you joined me. So your truck is exactly where you left it, right near the cafe. Mm-hmm. You never lost the truck, and you, because you you forgot that in the cafe, assumed it was back at the church. Yeah. Now, this was corrected in about 20 minutes, but this same thing could go on for 50 years, right?
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah, you could assume that you lost something, and maybe you wouldn't be as lucky as to assume that she found it. Maybe it would stay in the lost category. Yet, did she actually... No, because it was around her neck the whole time. Yeah?
Yes.
So this thing with my friend with the truck, it only went on for 50 minutes, but who could say it could go on for 50 years? Based on an assumption, we assume that we're something that prohibits us from recognizing that we can't find out what we are. We can only be what we are. Yeah? In this case, what we're not has the greatest way of hiding it. It has us looking for it all freaking day. And it has, it's like its greatest insurance policy, because you're never going to find it, because you are what's looking for it. Yeah? Never been not around. No, when you think you found it, you feel great bliss, and then when you thought you lost it, you were bummed out. Well, what's that but playing God? That's dreaming. Yeah? You're dreaming a truth that isn't a truth, and you're living it as if it is a truth, but it ain't a truth. You've never lost what you're trying to find. I mean, you may not have the feelings you think you're supposed to have if you found it or anything away, but at least you can be rebooted, and maybe when you go on your next retreat or something, there'll be a new attitude and a new outlook. You won't be looking for what's looking. Maybe you'll be there just to express what's looking. Far out. That's a great place to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But those are 7-Eleven. Those are freaking gas stations. Those, you know, waiting in line at Kmart. They're all great places to express it. So he goes on, if you don't mind, I'll read it.
Go for it.
So, again, when she meets her friends, they ask her if the lost necklace was found. She says yes, and as if it were lost. And yet, so also with the realization of the self. So he goes, in fact, she never lost it nor recovered it. And yet, she was once mistful and now she is happy. So also with the realization of the big S self. The self is always realized. The realization is now obscured by you looking for it. In my view, the realization is now obscured. When the veil is removed, the person feels happy at rediscovering the ever-realized self. The ever-present realization appears to be a new realization. Now, what should one do, you know? So why do you see it? Isn't that true? Isn't that exact description of what's happening?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
People think they've had an awakening. But what have they awakened to? The ever-present awakening. So was there an awakening? It wasn't, because it's ever presently awake. It's always realized. So how can there be a realization of what's always realized by that which is always realized?
I have another question if you're ready for it.
Yes.
Okay, so this is from Tom. He says, so is it the higher mind that has to recognize the nothingness of the separate self to be free of it?
Well, you know, because you're free of it. Because there isn't one. Just like Brahmana says, there's a presupposing of a non-existent thing. Can you be free of a non-existent thing?
Right. You know, like if you're imagining that there's, you know, you hear a noise and you're imagining there's someone in your house and you go look and there's no one there, then you might feel relief, but the person in your house was a non-existent thing, right?
That's right. It was never in there. But now you feel relief when you find that there was no one there, but there was never anyone.
Right.
See, we're dreaming, you see? We're in the act of dreaming. We're making false evidence appear real. All the time, constantly. We don't see the verse of ourselves. This is a freaking an activity constantly going on. We're constantly giving meaning to things. We're constantly misperceiving. We're constantly taking false evidence appearing real. We seem to be constantly presupposing a non-existent thing and then living as if it's existing. Yeah, this is happening all day. But did it ever happen? That's the beauty of it. It can all seem to be happening, but it never happened. That's the beauty of it. It can never come to pass. Yeah?
Yes.
Yes, that's the gorgeousness of it. It can only reach the level of it has to, and I would say the activity of what's so here is us. Yeah. We're dreaming. Yeah.
All right. Do we have?
Do what you need to do. I mean, you know, you think you're meditating and you know the truth, it may be great for your blood pressure. Yeah. You don't know how it's going to be used, but I'll tell you, mind will use whatever's available to increase value. The mental state will claim it to fucking death and neuter it. That's what it does. Yeah. So, I mean, I've had what most people would say were terrible things I've done to people, terrible things I've done. Yeah. And that has been the great use in my life. Who am I to say what's valuable and not valuable? Find out. Yeah. Like it says in AA to God, yeah. Now, I like to change because the way it's heard from most people I talk to, like they're trying to abandon themselves, you know, what they, who they think they are. It's like more like abandoning a car. Yeah? Like when I used to be crazy, sometimes we'd hit a tree or something, and we didn't want to be there when the cops came because we had other problems. So we would just abandon the car and just walk away from it. Right there. And so you can abandon something that isn't you. I can abandon a child. I can abandon, but you can't abandon what you are. And if you read it this way, it says abandon yourself. Yeah. So the self that you're claiming to be you, abandon that idea. Abandon yourself. Yeah. That can happen because it's not you. It can be an abandonment of self, of the smaller self, because it's not you. You cannot abandon you. It's impossible. You'd still be there, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So the word, knowing it or not, the co-founder of AA may not have known what it was saying, but you can read it that way. That abandoning yourself is like you're well, for lack of a right, something, and then self another thing. So the something can abandon self. And it's easier than abandoning a car because there is no self. You see? You abandon the activity of selfing. And what is that? How does that look? You lose interest in the activity of self. Yeah. The selfing continues on, but you've lost interest in it. Now your interest is in this moment, sitting on this water, watching the waves express itself on the surface of the water. It's fucking unbelievable. I mean, sorry, got out of number. It's unbelievable. It's beautiful. So, yeah, I don't need to sit here and observe it. I'm seeing it already. So, I don't have to get my observing cap on. I'm wide awake. Feeling the air. Whatever. Easterly wind right now. Over the water. It's gorgeous. Or it's not gorgeous. Whatever. I'll lean in on the magical beauty side. It's gorgeous.
Well, you know, I woke up to the fact that I wasn't awake when I was at a lake with my daughter. She was eight at the time, and I happened to notice that she was throwing rocks in the water and just loving every single rock. You know, they each made a different sound, and you know, depending on their weight. And I was standing there throwing rocks too, but I was completely lost in my head and worrying about stuff that wasn't even happening. And it was in that moment, the contrast between her joy and my being lost in the head that I became awake to the fact that I wasn't awake. Like, up until that moment, I didn't realize I was lost in the head.
Right. Well, that to me is the avenue of negation is the only way. It's the no way, really. Yeah?
Yeah.
You just negate that thing that needs a way.
All right.
That's the only, it's like a billiard shot. You can't hit the one. You got to hit the side thing. And then, so if you try to get out of what you're not in, it'll never work. But if you realize you're not in, that's being out of it. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And that flavor that's expressed by it follows through all of its expression. It has a flavor. Or you could call it a different kind of logic than the mental logic. Once you key in on it, you'll keep seeing. And then the intuition is like a note in a long symphony, you know? The inspiration is like a stanza in a long freaking song. You see?
Yes.
There's not an intuition, you know, wrapped around static. There's intuition. It's available, yeah?
You know what, Paul? We have another question for you. This one's from Tom. He's asking, are you going to be in Los Angeles soon?
I hope so. They're supposed to be doing something soon. I thought it would be at the end of July, but maybe it'll be moved into August. But yeah, I come there every few months. So I don't think we decided to stop doing that. So.
And you have things on your website that tell where you're at. Is that true?
Yes, yes. Yeah, I'm going to be home here. If anyone's interested, we're trying a new thing here. We have a big house and a lot of empty rooms, and so our rent is very high. This is going to be a commercial, honey, if you don't mind.
It's time for a commercial. We're at the end.
We're going to set up, we're going to have like 3 or 8 little week buttery. Everyone's their own door, 5 people. And most, there'll be baths with showers and bathtubs, but they're not all in the room. Some of them have them, some don't. And the people buy their own food, and then we'll get, you know, you can come in here, $100 or something for the days, and you get your own room, you're on this lagoon, you can swim in it, kayak, gorgeous. And I'll do a talk on Friday. I'll actually take everyone on a little tour Friday. Friday night, give a talk. Saturday, take them to the regular talk, go out with the community. Saturday night, do a talk, maybe 2 talks on Sunday. So it's trying to make money so we can keep this house. It's a special place,
and
very good place to hold meetings.
And where is this house?
This is in Novato, California. So if you have I can give you my website on my email. If they're interested in any information.
Okay.
They can get in touch with me, but we're going to be doing it July and August, and then we'll do it after October, because September, October, I usually travel.
Okay.
We'll start it up again. All right?
And that's it. What is it? Isn't that zenbitchslap.com?
No, they can get right through to me. It's Paul Head, and that's HEDavidSSam@yahoo.com.
Okay, PAULHEDDS@yahoo.com.
Yeah. Yeah, they can email me if they like.
Okay, so there you go. Email Paul if you want information about staying at the house and helping them raise it.
Yeah, basically.
All right, well, listen.
Okay, so I have a lavish lifestyle.
Yeah.
Lavish lifestyle.
Okay. Well, listen.
It's a beautiful, beautiful space. We're right on the water now, and it's just a gorgeous space. When you look east, all you see is hills. There's no houses up for about 100 miles.
All right. That sounds perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
all
thank
right,
you.
Hey, thanks so much.
Wait. Don't hang up yet. I got something to tell you, but I'm going to let go of the mic, everyone. So thank you for coming, Paul, but don't hang up. And everybody here is saying thank you, too.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you for the participation.
All right, everybody. I'm releasing the mic.